Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bharat Heavy Electricals Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Modi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Bharat Heavy Electricals Limited, BHEL. Today we have with us from the company, Dr. Nalin Singhal, Chairman and Managing Director, along with the senior management team. We will start the call with opening remarks on the results by Dr. Singhal, post which we will have a Q&A session. I would like to now hand over the call to Dr. Singhal for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rahul. Good evening, everyone. I am Nalin Singhal, CMD, BHEL, and I have with me Srimati Renuka Gera, Director, Industrial Systems and Products, Shri Upendra Singh Matharu, Director, Power, with additional charge of Director, HR, and Shri Jaiprakash Srivastava, Director, Engineering and R&D. A very warm welcome to all of you. The Indian economy is expected to be among the fastest-growing major world economies in the current year, despite impact of geopolitical conflict, increasing inflation, and subsequent monetary tightening by central banks across the world. Ordering for thermal coal-based power plants is showing signs of revival after a gap of 4 years. With increased focus on energy security across the world, especially after the Ukraine war, the need for thermal power as a reliable and affordable source of power has become obvious. With the order for 2×660 MW NTPC Talcher, BHEL has asserted its market leadership position in the segment and is targeting the other upcoming opportunities which are now visible. BHEL is focusing on becoming the market leader for providing flexible operation solutions for thermal power plants, which is a key requirement for integrating renewable sources of power generation with the grid. We have achieved a significant milestone in this direction by successfully demonstrating the same at the 1×600 MW Raigarh thermal power plant and have already received 2 more orders in this area. Government's thrust on CapEx is presenting opportunities across core sectors like transportation, steel, refineries, defense, etc., and BHEL is looking forward to capitalize on the same. In the transportation segment, we have received orders for 22 WAG-9H locomotives from Indian Railways, 90 sets of IGBT-based three-phase drive propulsion equipment for WAG-9 locomotives from CLW, and 35 sets of IGBT-based composite converters for three-phase WAP-5 locomotives from BLW, amongst other orders. In the transmission segment, we have won orders for execution of 400 kV Neemuch new substation and extension of 400 kV Chittorgarh substation and 400 kV Mandsaur substation from Neemuch Transmission Limited, along with interconnecting transformers of various ratings from PGCIL. Similarly, various orders for compressors have also been received from both private and public sector customers from refinery segment. In this changing business landscape, BHEL has reviewed its corporate strategy and has identified cost competitiveness and timely and high-quality delivery to be the cornerstone for BHEL in the short and medium term, with core engineering and technical prowess as a key element for long-term sustainable growth. The recently developed Corporate Strategy Plan 22-27 therefore focuses on turning around the company with initiatives focused on cost-effectiveness and enhanced revenue from value-added services, as well as increase market share in conventional areas. Further, the company is targeting to diversify into multiple allied businesses and is building capabilities for the same through both in-house development as well as partnerships for sustained growth and profitability. BHEL, being a pioneer for gasification of high ash Indian coals in the country, is now working towards developing new markets for coal to chemicals. We have entered into strategic MOUs with Coal India Limited and Neyveli Lignite Corporation India Limited for setting up coal and lignite-based gasification plants. Under these MOUs, BHEL will jointly set up a coal to ammonium nitrate project with Coal India Limited based on gasification of high ash Indian coal and a lignite-based gasification pilot plant with NLCIL for power generation, utilizing BHEL's indigenously developed pressurized fluidized bed gasification technology. This is a major step towards meeting the National Coal Gasification Mission target of 100 million metric tons and provides the twin benefits of commercialization of indigenous technology as well as substituting high-cost energy imports. Internally, the company is further streamlining its operations and improving systems and efficiencies to deliver quality products and projects within customer timelines. Amidst increased input costs, both material and manpower, the company is giving impetus to optimizing both fixed and variable costs through design optimization as well as budgetary control. As regards order booking performance during Q2, up to Q2 FY23, we have booked orders worth 14,511 crores, including taxes and duties, out of which the power segment is 11,174 crores, industry segment is 3,155 crores, and the remaining is from exports. The total outstanding order book as on 30th September 2022 stands at rupees 1,06,376 crores, out of which the power sector is 88,973 crores, industry sector is rupees 12,677 crores, and 4,726 crores is from international operations. In addition to the above, we are favorably placed in the 1 into 800 megawatt NTTPS Vijayawada FGD order and a number of spares and services orders. In captive segment, we are placed favorably in CPCL 4 into 34 megawatt GTG and 4 into 125 TPH HRSG and a 3 into 165 utility boiler. Currently, tendering is underway for 3 into 800 megawatt NLCIL Talabira thermal power project, 2 into 660 megawatt Neveli thermal power station stage 2, 12 into 240 Dibang hydroelectric project, and tenders for FGDs of around 15 gigawatt are in various stages of tendering. In the transportation segment, sizable orders for electric locomotives and train sets are under tendering. Coming to financial performance, revenue from operations for second quarter 2023 is rupees 5,203 crores as against rupees 5,112 crores during the second quarter 21-22. The revenue numbers could have been better but for the lower opening order book available for execution. Higher numbers stand at rupees 9,875 crores versus rupees 8,014 crores last year. The H1 numbers is the H1 numbers, indicating a growth of about 23%. Loss before tax for the second quarter 2023 is placed at rupees 201 crores as against a loss of rupees 88 crores in the corresponding period in the last year. Loss before tax for H1 stands at 456 crores as against loss of 681 crores last year. However, there is a positive profit after tax at rupees 10 crores in Q2 2023 as against loss of rupees 67 crores in the corresponding period last year. In Q2 22-23, the company has a marginal negative EBITDA and a loss at PBT level. However, PAT is positive due to tax refunds during H1 22-23. Interest income of rupees 106 crores has been received on tax refunds and the same is accounted as other income. The cost reduction drive continues and the manufacturing, administrative and S&D expenses in H1 as a percentage of total percentage of revenues have come down to about 7.2% from about 7.8% last year. This saving of 60 basis points is coming on top of the 200 basis point reduction achieved in the previous financial year. The total receivables are at rupees 33,718 crores as against rupees 33,168 crores at the end of March 22 and rupees 13,903 crores at the end of Q1 22-23. The cash collection ratios have also shown an improvement with current year H1 billing liquidation at 73% vis-a-vis 68% in the corresponding period of the last year. Thank you all once again for joining this conference call. We will take questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deepak Krishnan from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I just wanted to check on the order inflow pipeline. Why you indicated two projects are under tendering? Do you kind of expect them to be bid out by FY23, sir? And just maybe from a longer-term pipeline, 1 year out, how do you kind of see the tendering pipeline, especially for the power sector?
The Talabira project we are expecting to be to be completed in the current FY.
Another tender is I'm U.S. Mataru, Director of Power, and Director HR. Talabira tender is already out, for which technical bid has been submitted by the bidders, including BHEL. So a financial bid is yet to be invited, and we hope that within this financial year, financial bid submission will happen and it may reach a maturity. And there is another tender of 2x660 lignite waste Neyveli stage 2. That tender is also out and its bid submission is due in the month.
So that I don't think will come in the current year.
Maybe in the first quarter of FY24.
Any longer-term pipeline, say 1 or 2 year out, that you
longer-term pipeline because based on the state utilities have shown interest in setting up power plants where the old power plants are being abandoned, they will be setting up new power plants. We are already in discussion with Haryana, Gujarat, and DVC. Close to some 4.6 gigawatt of tenders are expected to be there in the next financial year.
And so maybe just one follow-up question. I think on profitability, we still see that at EBITDA level, the company is still reporting losses. And you had indicated a couple of quarters ago that probably you require 30,000 crores on an annual basis to break even. Are those two factors still there, and do you kind of see some improvement in profitability with execution picking up?
You see, what has happened is material costs have continued to rise while a lot of efforts have gone in. But in the last year and post this, the change in the geopolitical situation, steel prices, copper prices, they have all these various, and fuel has all gone up. So that is what has really affected us quite badly. With the turnovers going up, we are trying to, with our efforts on cost optimization and improvement turnover, we are looking to attack that. Of course, the old orders being on a very competitive basis, that continues to be an issue for us. But as the ordering picks up, I think we should be able to, do better on this.
Sure, maybe just one last question from my side. The provision, net provision created or withdrawn this quarter, and any FX gain that was reported in this particular quarter, just two data points.
Provisions. So the net provisions in this, we have a creation of 238 crores, withdrawal of 378 crores, and a net provision of 118 crores.
Sure. And any FX gain in the quarter or the 1H? Any foreign exchange gain in 1H? We see some on the cash flow.
We have a gain of 20 crores in this quarter.
Sure, sir. Those were all my questions. I'll get back to the question queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
My first question is on the NTPC and Adani, the EPC orders. I believe that NTPC is talking about more EPC orders, especially for Lara Singrauli and Talabira and Dandipalli. Are you hearing something on the same? And secondly, on the Adani order, Adani also is 1.6 gigawatt. Are we bidding for it?
Yeah,
regarding NTPC, the tenders for Singrauli and Lara, which were these tenders were there earlier and were annulled, and but we are hopeful that these tenders are being again being placed in market, and in the maybe in the first quarter of FY24 these tenders should be out. Regarding Adani Bandhaura, there because there was certain change in the parameters, so due to this I think the implication was there, and we are awaiting for the next decision from Adani in this regard. The tender is already out.
Understood, sir. Secondly, sir, given that there is a lack of competition now, and are we expecting better pricing given the last cycle? I think you have suffered from higher competition, especially in FGD. Are we expecting better pricing in the coming orders for the power plants and FGD now?
FGD, if you look at the pricing, which comparing with the earlier set of orders, lot one, lot two orders of NTPC. The pricing is better now, and it is significantly better than the ones which were bid earlier. But this level, but still, it will be very competitive at this stage also. Though the price level have increased from significantly from the earlier levels.
And also, I think too, we are moving towards more favorable payment terms as well.
So, how did the tender term change, sir, for the EPC contract? Is it better now? For FGD
in the interim period we had shifted to a fairly adverse set of payment terms, but if you look at Talcher, the terms have come back to our earlier terms. If you look at something like a Patratu or the FGD orders, the terms had become quite adverse at that stage, which had caused a huge stress on our liquidity as well.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot. So this 14,500 crore rupees of order inflow was for the first half, right? Or was it for the second quarter?
This is the first half.
This is the first half. Okay. And so how much of it was in the second quarter?
The second quarter is 12,004 crores, which is okay. the Talcher one is a very major contributor in the second quarter.
Okay. And how much of this is Talcher in this 12,000 crore?
7,407 crores is Talcher.
This is
8,740 crores including taxes. It's 8,740 crores.
Okay, including. In 12,000 crore rupees, 8,740 is included or 7,400 crore rupees?
No, 8,740. In 12,000, it is 8,740.
Okay. Okay, so 8,740 including taxes. And sir, what are the execution timeline as per the EPC contract for this order?
For Talcher, the execution timeline is 48 months.
For Unit 1 and for Unit 2, there is another additional 6 months.
48 months and 54 months.
Okay. And then my second question is on the cash flows and the balance sheet. So in the first half, operating cash flows have been negative against the positive cash flow in the last year first half. So do we expect ultimately to break even on the cash flow basis, on operating cash flow basis this year? Or
we are making all efforts in that direction, but we have faced problems on certain states delaying the payment. But a lot of effort has gone into that direction. That entire effort is there that we should improve the cash flow in the second half.
Okay. And so how much is the net debt as of the quarter end?
Net debt at the end of the quarter would be 5,680 crores.
5,680 crore. Okay. And then, I mean, just broadly speaking, I will say, for example, in this culture bid, how many bidders participated? And if you could kind of share what was the difference between your bid and the next higher bid?
So there were two bidders, BHEL and L&T. And the difference,
including the loading, it was close to around 1,000 crores.
Including the technical loading, it would come to almost 1,000 crores.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot. That was very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, sir, for the opportunity. First of all, I would like to ask about the orders, sir. So the capital plan and the rate is around 3.1
billion. Your voice is breaking. Sorry to interrupt you. We are unable to hear you.
Am I audible now? Hello?
Yes, can you go ahead, please, if there will be a break.
So the capex plan by the railways till by 26 is around 3.1 trillion only for the rolling stock. So what kind of outlook do we have for the railway orders in the medium term? And also, can you throw some light on the defense orders as well, as there is more focus on indigenous equipment and everything from the government?
So railways is a very serious segment for us, and you are aware earlier that we had got a first order for the train sets, Vande Bharat train sets, for the four train sets. And going ahead, there are three more tenders in the pipeline. One is opening very shortly. So we are working with collaboration with other players to bid for these orders, and we are very seriously making an effort to get into this business in a full fledged way.
Any estimates as to what is the target for it?
Sorry.
Any estimate as to the targeted order inflow for it for railway segment?
I don't think I'd be in a position to give you any estimates on this thing, because we are seriously bidding for all the three train set orders as well as the loco orders. We are going for that, but I don't think we can give you a number as to what we would be able to get.
And the outlook on defense, sir?
Defense, we have already got our you are aware we have been a major supplier for the SRGM, the super rapid gun mount, which is the main gun on the ships. So we are now going to an upgraded SRGM. So we have already got the order for the first two, and in the entire this entire order over the next 4 or 5 years is expected to be almost 50 guns. So that process is still on, and we are the sole supplier there. Then we are also looking at a number of other areas than the defense. We are working on the marine gas turbine. We are looking at some of the development and some of the strategic projects. So there are a number of other projects that we are looking at on the defense front, on the developmental aspect. Air defense guns. So that we have another major segment for us for the future.
And so the order, the 14,500 crores which you announced, it is the orders that we have already received. Can you give us a value of all the tenders that we are L1 right now?
All the tenders that we are L1 right now. So the major one, of course, you already aware, the major one which has already come through, which was Talcher. But as of now, what are all there in the pipeline is the Vijayawada FGD, 800 megawatt, the FGD, and Ukai Unit 3 and Unit 5. The RNMs. In addition to that, of course, in CPCL, as I've already mentioned, we are favorably placed in the 4x34 megawatt GTG and the 4x125 TPH HRSG and the 3x165 TPH utility boiler.
Okay. So the value of it, can I get?
Value, I don't have at the moment.
Vijayawada and Ukai, it will be closely 300 crores.
It's about, for Vijayawada, Ukai, it's about 300 crores. For the captive power, we don't have
that. We have the figure, but total overall industry sector, about 5,000 crores, we can say we have.
No, L1. The question is
L1.
About 1,000 crores is the figure in the okay. Where we are L1.
Understood. And just a final question, sir. What is the executionable order book right now, say, in H2, 23 and FY24?
So, our executable order book is 80,426 crores, including taxes.
Understood. That's all from my side. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
So thanks for taking my question. So just one question, you know, in line with the executable order book question that somebody asked previously. Currently the impact of COVID on execution is gone. We are sitting with almost 1 lakh crore of order book, 80,000 executable. Why the top line is still not where it can be? I mean, doing 5,000 crore of top line on an 80,000 crore order book still seems quite low. So are you facing any challenges still in terms of execution? How should we look at the ramp up of this now that you've got one large order? If you could highlight, a little bit on that.
So, Pulkit, if you look at the opening order books, in fact, and the percentage execution during the year, the execution during the year as a percentage of the opening order book, I think we are almost at a record level in the last year. And in the current year, again, the Q1, the COVID effect which was there in Q1 last year went away in the current year, which resulted in a substantial improvement in our execution on the execution front. So I don't think that is correct. We are with if you look at the way the order book has panned out over the years, I think the percentage execution is actually going up. And we also, we had mentioned in the last con call when we were doing the previous year, our execution in the past year has been at almost at record level. If you look at the physical execution.
Yes, sir. So basically what I'm coming to is that for us to get to a 30,000 crore kind of a top line with this rate of execution, I don't know, how do we get there? So just trying to understand, what is like the, even with the new orders that you won, what is the kind of best case top line we are looking at, say, in FY24, if we were to look at that?
I would not be in a position to give any revenue guidance that also for the year ahead, for the next year. Let me say that the new orders that we are getting, you see, the orders we are receiving this year, almost a year and a half, 18 to 24 months is the time when the actual execution and turnovers will start coming, substantial execution and turnovers will start coming from those orders. So these would start panning out towards the second part of 24. And then whatever orders, further orders, you see, we are looking at a strong, while today the numbers, in even though the orders in the pipeline or the tenders in the pipeline not that much as compared to what is required. You see, if you look at the $5 trillion economy and if you look at what projections are coming under the draft NEP. So from that perspective, I think we should be expecting almost 4,000 to 5,000 megawatt of ordering in the next 4 to 5 years. And that, as you see, the discussions are on, a lot of those orders are likely to start becoming visible in the coming year, those tenders, as Mr. Matharu had already mentioned.
Fair point, sir. So 4 to 5 gigawatt each year is what we can build in for the industry.
We should be looking over the next 4 to 5 years, because if you're looking at our the total energy requirements, so from that perspective, there's a total of almost 15 to 16 gigawatt that would be required over the next almost 4 to 5 years.
I'd like to add on this. Actually, the CA projection has been 28 gigawatt. No projections are there, and there is some in the market, but tenders are yet to be out. most of the state entities as well as SPV. So looking at the age of the plants also, I think there is a significant chunk of power plants which will be more than 30 years old, close to some 27 gigawatt. So many of them are around 28 gigawatt plants are above 30 years of age and need to be retired, for which some plan has already been given by CA. But tendering is not happening at that pace.
But we expect that situation to change in the coming year, you see, as this, as you already seen in the current year, the shortages and the issues which have come up. So that is gradually picking up pace.
Got it, sir. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lavina Quadras from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So just wanted to understand, outside of the core BTG business, right, you explained the orders in the trains, you explained the orders in the defense part of it. Any other areas or on the MOU side or let's say strategic use of your facilities or something else that is looking very optimistic according to you that could fructify over the next 12-18 months?
So one major area which I mentioned, you know, also is the coal gasification. So under the National Mission on Coal Gasification, we are looking at the target is 100 million tons per annum by 2030. And the fact that we have indigenous technology, which is a commercially proved technology for gasification of the high ash Indian coals, I think that puts us in a fairly good position on the gasification front. And we are targeting that. We have a team in mission mode working on the technical side, looking at the development of the commercial plant. So that is one major thing we expect to come through in the near future. Then going ahead, of course, nuclear is going to be another major area on the energy front, because as we look at our net zero targets, so we'll have to look at that for the longer term. And another area, of course, would be carbon capture. That is another upcoming area, because now we see that coal is an imperative. So mitigation will have to be done through carbon capture. So this would be the next area that we would need to look at. On that front, of course, you are aware of the AUSC development that we have made. And we are now looking at our first technology demonstration plant for the AUSC. And if you look at it from the perspective of replacement of the Mr. Matharu mentioned, almost 28,000 megawatts of plants are over 30 years old, which are subcritical. So replacement of those with AUSC would make a significant impact on our emissions work also. So these are the sort of things that we expect to become visible in the near future.
So coal gasification, any quantification of the overall opportunity? Overall, BHEL is one part of it, but let's say what could be...
As I said, it's 100 million tons. The coal gasification mission talks of 100 million tons by 2030. So the numbers are quite substantial there.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhineet Anand from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks. So from the 81,000 executable order book, based on, you know, client's schedule, what could be a broad number for the execution this year, sir?
I don't think we'll give a specific number on that.
So I think just a color, at least, you know, may not be an exact number, but maybe something will help us, because, you know, execution is something very difficult to predict. So was hoping some broader, you know, numbers from you guys would be very helpful.
Abhineet, I don't think we'll give any specific numbers on that.
Okay. No, so secondly, on the, you know, payment terms. Can you, you know, restate what's the exact payment terms of, let's say, Talcher Bitnap EPC contract that we have had?
Sorry, can you repeat that, please?
Payment terms for Talcher.
I'll try to respond to this. Payment terms of Talcher, exact payment terms in the state right now. But these are more or less similar to the payment terms that we used to have earlier for most of the power plant orders that we had. Like there was certain change in case of Patratu or some FGD orders where payments, majority of the payments were backloaded and they were pegged with the milestones. And we can have realization only once those milestones are achieved. But for Talcher, payment terms are almost restored to the earlier pattern that a significant payment is received upon the dispatch of metals close to some 60-65%, around 60%. So that way it has come back to the previous kind of payment regime.
Okay, and at the end, but we'll still have, you know, for performance guaranteed, so we'll still have the 10% left, right?
Those will continue. This payments related to the completion of performance guarantee tests and trial operation, those will continue to remain on the same pattern.
Okay. Secondly, I think, you know, the sir mentioned about interest income or the tax refund as part of other income. What is that amount?
So there is 160 crores tax refund and 106 crores interest.
So that number is 106. I think the tax part, negative tax, was any which is a part of PNL that is shown. And lastly from me, you know, this, you told about the 15 gigawatt FGD opportunity. Can you just give some timeline to it?
Mr. Atharu will answer that.
Actually, the timeline which CA has given a document in which they are mentioning about 28 gigawatt projects to be set up in a timeline of 22 to 27. And further beyond that also, they have given a plan of around 30 gigawatts. So it's totaling to 45 gigawatts in total. But the tender that we are seeing visible in the coming year is close to some 4.5, 4.6 gigawatts. And based on the indication that we get from different utilities as well as some utility like NTPC, so in a time of 2 to 3 years, close to some 16 gigawatt tenders should be there in the market.
I'll just repeat what I understood because there was some, you know, not so clear noise. So 4.5 gigawatt is something which can be near term, and over the next 2-3 years, 16 gigawatt can be expected. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. These may be the tenders that will be out in the market.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. Those were my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashna Manaktala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to ask you about the what is the proportion of our top line coming from spares and service? Maybe you can give the Q2 number or one for H1 as well.
Just one moment, Ashna. We'll just give you the numbers. Roughly about 12% or so. We are looking at 1100 out of 9400. So that's roughly about 12%.
And sir, how are we looking at the space and service number to grow forward in the coming years?
This is an area where we are actually trying to, you know, ramp up this number because we have now taken up entering into long-term spares and service agreements with various customers. So which would speed up the ordering cycle and would also give us a bigger share. The complete you know, ordering for the, those units would come to us. So with that, we are, and of course, this other the aim we are, you know, to speed up, we have also started a process of advanced manufacturing action to reduce our cycle time. And that, along with the flexibilization order, I think that should help us ramp up this number in the coming years.
Okay, sir. And then last year we won a large order from nuclear side. So going forward, what is the opportunity that we are looking for, and how often can we expect a similar large order like the TG Island, which we had won in FY22?
So nuclear has been quite cyclic. As of now, we don't have any projections on that. But then there is, you see, from an imperative of the net zero, I think this is something which is which will go up. And there is now a focus on SMR, small modular reactors, also to replace the old sets, old thermal sets also. So that's another direction which it is taking. So nuclear should be going up.
Okay, sir. Any opportunity size or size of the order that you want to mention about?
No, at this stage it will be too premature to actually talk of any numbers. But that's an area that the growth that is becoming visible.
Okay. And so now coming to the overall fixed cost, as you mentioned, our other expenses have come down to around 7.2% of the revenue, and even our employee cost has been quite stable over the past couple of years. So going forward, what are the cost measures that we are taking to control our expenses, and how further we can control the fixed expenses going forward?
So in fact, you know, there is a huge effort which has already gone over the last few years in this area. I think we are reaching almost an optimal level as far as the fixed costs part is concerned. While we are still making efforts, but I think the major efforts now will go into areas of cost optimization, your material costs, and review of the design to cost sort of initiative. That is the way we will need to go ahead.
Okay, thank you. And sir, one last question on of our diversification strategies. Are we also looking at electrolyzer manufacturing?
So we had set up a hydrogen business group which is looking at fuel cells and electrolyzers, but we are not in a stage to actually, you know, say anything very, very firm on that yet.
Okay, got it, sir. So I have further questions, but I'll get back to
you. Thank you. Thank you, Ashna.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsha from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Can you just provide the split of the receivables for the quarter?
So we have a total outstanding of 33,718 crores, with contract assets at 27,094 crores and our trade receivables at 6,624 crores.
And the breakup between the central state?
Central would be 37%, state 42%, private 14%, and international 7%.
And lastly, on the 2Q order book number, it would be great if you could just repeat the number. I just missed it.
The Q2 order book.
Yeah.
So if you look at the order booking for Q2, the total is 12,004 crores, of which power sector is 9,600 crores, industry sector is 2,286, and international operations is 118 crores.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Acha.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Sumit Kishore from Access Capital. Please go ahead. Sumit Kishore, your line is unmuted. Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Hi. Good evening. My question is that, you know, with the increase in raw material costs that we have seen, what is the new capital cost for a fully built thermal power plant today, including the emission reduction capex? So in a rupees per rupees crore per megawatt, if you could give us some sense.
It will vary on the configuration. So if it is a single unit, that may be varying between 7 to 8 crores per megawatt. And if it is a multiple unit configuration where the BOPs can have a common setup for two units, so then it may be ranging between 6 to 7 crores. Of course, it will depend upon the kind of scope that is built in the EPC contract.
So specifically, if you look at the Talcher order, it comes to almost 6.6 crores per megawatt.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that could be a figure to look at.
Yeah. So at 6.6 crore, you know, we know that BHEL in the past has made 40% plus gross margin, you know, which is now hovering around 30%. So I'm just trying to also get a sense from you that this particular bid that you have made helping you get your gross margins back to earlier levels, or because of competitive pressures and the new realities where orders are limited, you have to sacrifice pricing also to some extent, given the difference between L&T and you was only 1,000 odd crores for this contract.
We would be looking at a mix of specifically for Talcher. Of course, we are looking at improved margins over what we have had in the previous years. And as the ordering picks up, those margins should then stabilize. At the moment, you see, even though a lot is visible, but the real orders have not yet happened, though this is the only one which has happened after 4 years. So you can well appreciate that it has been a competitive order. Coming after 4 years, the first order has to be at be a competitive order. But that situation should change over a period.
Okay. And given the opportunities that you're looking in coal gasification, carbon capture, is there any capex that you would need to do to sort of, bring your manufacturing capacities or recondition them to the new growth areas? So what would be your capex, say, for FY23, FY24?
So the 23-24 capex is still to be worked out, but we are now looking at, significant manufacturing capex because we are essentially a manufacturing company, and going ahead, we have to stay in the field with modern facilities. So that is going to result in higher capex in the coming years.
But you would have some budgeted plan, right, for this?
Not yet. It is in the process. So once our budget is complete, those figures will get frozen.
Okay. And just to understand, for coal gasification, what is the thumb rule on capex for, say, 1 million ton of coal to be gasified, and what is the capex for the plant that needs to be set up?
It's a little early for that, because the first plant, we are still the engineering is going on. Now, that first plant will be at a certain level where we are also looking at some sort of a PLI or a viability gap sort of funding to be there. And as the numbers pick up, it'll stabilize. So I think it's a little bit early to give a specific figure.
Got it. Thank you, Dr. Sheen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deepak Krishnan from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the follow-up opportunity. I just wanted to understand, in your current order book, how is it split between fixed and variable price contracts?
fixed in Vinod? Sorry, can you repeat that?
So how much of your order book is fixed price contracts where you cannot pass the cost pass through, and how much of it is variable where you are linked to a WPI index?
So I think almost 50-50 sort of a break is pickup is there, but I think going ahead the PVC will be, we expect PVCs to become more of a norm. But Talcher also has the PVC built in. And going ahead, I think ordering will largely, I think that era of fixed price contracts, people have understood the repercussions of fixed price contracts on the execution. So I think that is changing.
Sure. So maybe just one follow-up question. So if you look at the draft CEA, it says that the fossil fuel-based power plants go from about 236 gigawatt to 274 gigawatt. That's roughly about close to 43 gigawatt of gross addition. But if you take the 25 gigawatt that's under construction, that just implies 17 gigawatt incremental capacity over the next 10 years. We just wanted to reconcile this CEA number with your number of about 4 to 5 gigawatt incremental capacity addition. Just wanted your views over there.
So you see, this is the total increase that you're looking at, but at the same time, what we had mentioned was, about 28 gigawatt of plants over 30 years old, which will need to be, and which are lower efficiency, higher pollution. So they will need to be replaced. So that number will add on.
Sure. Okay. And maybe just on payment conditions, how are we? We still have about 42% of receivables coming from state to state. So essentially now I understand it's largely Andhra, Telangana and Tamil Nadu. But have you seen any improvement in payment dispatches from those states? Or how comfortable are we in FGD as well as, conventional power of, participating in state-based orders and their payment terms?
Over the longer term, we are actually looking at improvement. However, as you've seen for the, when we told you the Q2 figures, there has been a fallback because there are some specific issues which have arisen over some funding issues to a couple of states. But I think over the longer period that the issues, a lot of the issues have got sorted out, TANGEDCO and TSNCO and those places, So I think we expect this phase to stabilize.
Sure, sir. Those were my questions and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Deepak.
The next question is from the line of Azeb Parvatani from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question and giving me the opportunity. There are two specific questions. I want to understand first that in terms of the EBITDA level, when we are going to see the stability in the upcoming years or in the upcoming time where, BEL sees that, from, this time we are going to have a stable EBITDA at least in a, positive side. And secondly, when I see the BEL, now you are, coming into the new businesses. So next couple of years, where the BEL sees itself in terms of the business segment also, because it's a long time, our financials are extremely volatile and we are not able to generate the very strong margins. So what's the, what's the focus of the management of the BEL going forward? If you can at least share with the people on the call, and these are very normal questions to answer. Yeah.
Thank you. I think, if you look at from the top line perspective and the business perspective, we are, as you already mentioned, we are looking at diversification, and some very strong areas that we are looking at are coal gasification, AUSC, nuclear, and then of course defense and railways. If you're looking at the bottom line and the EBITDA perspective, you see today there is a lag typically between when the order is, when we are, making an effort in the technology development, getting the order, and actual turnovers happening against those orders. So in the, as I mentioned earlier, in the current year as well as in the short term, we are facing challenges on account of the competitiveness of the previous orders. As the new order execution picks up, I think that should reduce, and we should be able to improve on both the top line and the bottom line.
So can you give some timeline in that, at least tentative one, because FY23, I understand, we are just 6 months to over. Next 6 months, we will, complete with FY23. with these new orders, at least by FY24, mid of FY24, mid of FY25? Because, you know, every PSU vertical is doing good, means in your thing. So I just want to understand, means in terms of rail, why we are, you know, means, you know, there's something that, you know, one should be at a very firefighting side. That, you know, from you know, this year onwards, we are going to improve this, but we are not coming up to that level, to be very honest. And you know, other PSU players are extremely doing good. Though I can understand, you know, comparison is not possible. But, you know, where the, you know, at least tentative timeline you can share with the people on the call, because it's a very, you know, confident move you have to give to the investors, that, you know, from this time, from, you know, this timeline, we are going to be there. Something like that, if you can share.
So, you see, I'm not sharing any specific timelines with, in, you know, specific targets and timeline in that sense. But I would repeat a couple of things which I have, you know, said earlier. So, on the one, you see, the entire issue on execution front, so, which was, you know, our shift over from turnover-centric to a project-centric operation. Now, that has stabilized, and which is why I said, you know, in the last year, we mentioned earlier, the execution has been on a record front. And if you look at the percentage of the order book on hand, again, that has been on a record front. So that is one sort of, you know, data point. The second, as I said again, was, you know, the old orders are competitive. They will take another year, 2 years to complete, and we have to complete. We cannot, you know, afford to sort of, even if there are losses, whatever is there, we have to complete those orders. The new orders are coming in, and as I've already said, they would take a year, 12 months to 18 months to 24 months for that execution to come in and you know, the start contributing to the top and the bottom lines. So I think between those parameters you can see what's happening. I wouldn't you know, go beyond that to give a specific timeline when top line would stabilize or when EBITDA would stabilize. But I think these are the parameters we are working with. And let me assure you, though we may not be giving you specific numbers and saying, but the figures you are seeing, and especially the execution figures you are seeing, and the order booking figures you are seeing, and the diversification you are seeing, is an outcome of a very serious effort on all these fronts.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhineet Anand from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. So this unexecuted order book stands around 25,000 crores, right? Because 1,06,000 and 81 is the difference. So what are these projects and why is it still in the book? I want to understand that.
I'll request Mr. Madharu to take that.
In terms of megawatt, if I the figure is for past, it's around 90,000 megawatt. And the projects is a long list. I can mention a few that there have been some orders which have already some projects like which have on facility like Rasan India, Visa Power.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Can you you know, speak near to the mic? Not able to hear.
Sorry to interrupt. You're still not audible.
Am I audible now?
Yes, this is better.
So if you look at the projects which are under hold, close to some 19,000 megawatt of orders are under hold. So some of the projects which have which don't have any hope of revival, which have are under liquidation or are under LCLT, like Rath India, Visa Power. Besides that, we have hope of revival of some projects like Upur of Tangedco, two units of 800 megawatt, and Damodar Valley Corporation, Raghunathpur also. These are expected to be revived. And besides, there is a long list. I may not be able to take all the names. So this figure in terms of megawatt is coming close to 19,000 megawatt.
Just to understand, if the, you know, contract is under liquidation or NCLT, has that been removed from the book?
No, it
has not been removed because we have lodged actually based
basically
on
the issue is that commercial settlements are pending in a lot of these cases. So once that those settlements are done, then there will be the time. So there'll be two types of things here, you see. One is where we are expecting revivals, and the other is where NCLT casing is going on or other proceedings are there, where arbitrations are on, where settlement is pending. You see, that will close when the complete this item finishes, really.
So is it possible to just bifurcate the amount in the two buckets that you have said? Because expectation revival part is something which is crucial, right, which can add to our order book in coming years.
We can share that separately. We can, that information we are happy to share. We'll share that separately.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Abhinit.
Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for the closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Patient hearing and an interactive question answer session. And thank you very much for your interest in BHEL. And goodbye.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.